accrual of unpaid leave. That's one of the many disparities between the public and private sector. And we've seen actually more than a 50% reduction in the duration of, or rather the volume of unpaid leave that can be accrued. In our city, it started with the manager's office and the appointives who were attempting to lead by example. And it probably took 2 years, but almost all of the groups have agreed now to reduce that ability to essentially exit your career with a 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 hour bonus. I don't know if that's something, from my perspective, after a year and a half, the district has been slow to adopt these kinds of normalization of compensation structures for the health district. And I didn't know if there was any kind of a management thought as to how we would handle this going forward. If we are going to attempt to tackle this going forward, this would probably be the place to start. Not that I expect 30 years out of Dr. Iser, which is required to get to that point, but it's more the impact on the rest of the organization and the other, the other employees that, in this case, it's more perception than reality, I think.
So this is Rod. I had a question about that too, and as I read the red line on changes from what I perceived was Dr. Madah's contract, it looked like previously Dr. Madah had, and I could be wrong on this, but it looked like he had 20 days per year of annual leave with a maximum of 320 hours, and then sick leave at 15 days per year with an unlimited accumulation maximum. And it appears to me all that got wrapped into one personal leave amount of 35 days per year with a maximum of 400 hours. So it appears to me we did away with the unlimited maximum and wrapped it all into just one total 400 hour personal leave maximum. So I don't know if that accomplishes what you're trying to get at, Bob, if it goes far enough, but it looks like it has changed, and maybe Annette can comment on whether I'm reading that right.
That's exactly correct.
And that 400 hours is a maximum accumulation. It's not 400 hours per year aggregation year to year. If Dr. Iser were to take no leave during the course of 2 years, he would not accumulate 800 hours in a bank at that point. 400 hours would be the maximum that he could carry forward?
On a yearly basis.
Okay.
Well, okay. And if he were to work 2 years without taking any of his personal time off, then he would not receive the full benefit of those, because that would be 70 times, I'm getting this correct, 8 or 560, and we would have a limit of 400 hours?
The limit would be 400 hours.
And you're saying that's per year?
Per year.
Because 35 days.
Okay. Oh, so it is unlimited then.
So
isn't that how it typically works? Isn't it annual? Actually, right now it's unlimited, and so it's paid out. I think the first. It's paid out in full at like the first 400.
But I thought there was a limit on it
for carryover.
Yeah.
The statement says personal leave may accumulate to a maximum of 400 hours. So I guess we need to understand the meaning of that. If that is a carry forward, or what does that mean?
Well, 35 days is 7 weeks, right? Times 40. Am I right on that? So 280 hours?
Yeah, I took 2 years because I found the math easier. So 35 days times 2 is 70 days times 8 is 560 hours.
For 2 years. So it looks to me that, I mean, the 400 is more than the 35 days. So that's the way I read it, is the 400 would be the maximum total period. It wouldn't accumulate 400 per year. because he doesn't even get that many per year, right?
Well, 35 days at...
No, you're right. Once it's accumulated to 400, that's the most he can accumulate.
So, okay, so he reaches 400 in year two,
and
it stops, and he'll never go higher than 400.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. So there's no possibility, it's not unlimited, there's no possibility, maybe we need to clarify that, but there's no possibility to get up to 4,000.
Would it be appropriate to ask Dr. Iser if that was his understanding of the agreement as well?
Dr. Iser, are you still on the phone?
I am. Yes, that was my understanding too. I think that you and I can agree that in the first year, I am unlikely to take a whole lot of leave. And so I didn't want to be limited to just 1 year accumulation and then not be able to accumulate anymore. Although I do believe you all know that I'm going to need to have shoulder surgery, and so that's going to obviate this whole discussion. I don't think I'll be able to accumulate 400 hours in 3 or 4 years.
So back to Bob Beers, does that sort of answer your question, Bob?
Yeah, no, I don't know if we need clarifying language or not, since initially it appeared that our staff had some confusion about how that was to be interpreted. A couple sets of reasonable lives can look at it and come to different conclusions, then we probably need to have some elaborating language to clarify. But I also brought that up because Dr. Iser needs to understand, at least from the elected official side of the board, that this is an ongoing concern, I think, at both Clark County, North Las Vegas, probably Henderson as well. We had evolved over a long period of decades into essentially an unlimited accrual, which has led to our local newspaper publishing the annual list of public employees who make more than $500,000 a year. They are, generally speaking, first responders who retire after 30-plus years. And so when they exit, they get this huge accrual check that gets reported, and is, for all intents and purposes, a bonus. So these guys end up exiting with very large six-figure paychecks, which kind of erodes public confidence in our system's ability to provide reasonable governance. So it's an issue that all of us are looking at, and it's probably one that he's going to have to start looking at moving forward into the, 2015 negotiations that we're going to do, starting in 2014 probably.
So maybe if we could just add, something after 400 hours to say a maximum of 400 hours over the course of employees' employment with SNHD or something like that, just to make it clear.
Well, I'm reading that section right now, which is 4A, and to my mind, it can't be clearer that I cannot accumulate more than 400 hours.
So it sounds like we're all in agreement then.
So if you want to maybe put that into the language of a motion, Rod, to update that sentence to state personal leave hours may accumulate to a maximum of 400 hours during the course of employment. And then we don't have an issue of, does this mean a year or does this mean course of employment? So you want to make that motion?
So moved.
Any other discussion?
This is Joe Iser. May I put one word in there at the beginning of that sentence? Unused personal leave hours.
You're allowed to accept that amendment, yes.
So this sentence will now state unused personal leave hours may accumulate to a maximum of 400 hours over the course of employment. That is the motion, as I understand it, proposed by Rod.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 And we've updated it. Any other items that are of concern that should be reviewed? And then I'll bring up one discussion. We don't have dates yet. I don't know if Dr. Iser has yet a date that he could establish as a starting date. So that's a question to Dr. Iser, if you have a proposed starting date in your mind.
I have a variety of starting dates. Surgery could happen as soon as the first week in October. Do you want me to have the surgery before I come, or do you want me to come work a month or 2 months and then have surgery? But it's likely, at least with my last shoulder, I had to take off 2 weeks. So I think that that's one of the issues at hand. The second issue is when the full board will meet to approve this contract, because I believe it needs to do that before it becomes effective.
That's true. I guess I would speak from my perception. I would propose that as soon as you're ready to start, we should get you started. Certainly, if you are going to need some time off for the shoulder surgery, you should have that time off. I know there will be a FMLA process in effect, which may or may not affect compensation. HR can tell us what goes with that. But I think it would be best from my perspective to get you on board and get you settled in, and certainly take the time that you need for recovery. Even during recovery, you may be able to attend to a few items. So that's my perspective.
And if I may, that's indeed what happened last time. I was still active duty. I wasn't allowed to drive, but I could participate by distance on by email, conference calls, and a variety of other things. So that's true. I am intolerant of drugs like Vicodin that would confuse me. So I only use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory Celebrex, aspirin the last time, so I wouldn't be impaired due to any pain drug usage.
You'll just be grunting on the phone from the pain.
I'll just be screaming, that's correct. I'm going to have this done at the VA, so it might even take more than a month once I get down there, if I have it down there, to get that all set up. I do have it essentially set up here in Reno, but they're more than happy to refer me to the Las Vegas VA to have it there.
So I would guess that's maybe another unknown factor as to how long that transfer of care might take. So in my mind, one more reason to get you started and then take the time off as you need it. Any other?
The last time I moved was from the Sacramento VA to the Reno VA. And it takes about a month for everything to get settled. They do have access to medical records immediately because they have a great medical records system. But it would probably be, I would think, maybe close to Thanksgiving when I might have surgery.
I would concur with Tim. I think we get you started as quickly as possible.
Beers here, I concur.
I would too.
The second question that I had then is, when will the full board meet to approve this?
26th, the next board meeting.
So it could be.
We could have a special meeting on Wednesday, right?
Well, we could.
If we publish an agenda today.
We could, as long as we can get a quorum. And we can see how quick we can get a quorum, and then. Publish.
So Wednesday would be the 11th is when we could conceivably do a special meeting.
Well, you have to have three full working days notice. today's Friday. We could have a meeting Thursday. We could have, if we could get a, confirm the quorum today, we could get it posted by Monday morning and have the meeting on Thursday.
Well, as a strategy discussion, the last time we attempted this, it took longer than 5 days to figure out when we could have a quorum. So perhaps we might consider a parallel track if we're truly trying to move this along. Go ahead and call a meeting for next Wednesday or Thursday in compliance with the open meeting law and see if we get a quorum. If we don't, no harm. We can't make a decision. In the meantime, we can be working toward another date where we can be certain we can have a quorum and then issue a notice for that date.
You know, in my thinking, if we can't get it done before the 13th, I don't know if there's a lot of practical value in not waiting for the next scheduled board meeting on the
26th.
On the 26th. So if it could happen next week, great, we'd get a couple of weeks extra duty. But if we can't get it done, I don't know if there's a practical value in scheduling it.
Now, one could make the argument that our agency is currently out of compliance with state law. In that we do not have a chief medical officer who is a licensable in Nevada, DORMD, at this time.
I thought we do. She's here with us.
An acting.
Yeah. Who's acting?
Dr. Williams.
Dr. Williams is here. She's been acting since Dr. Madaw last night.
Okay. I missed that.
So I think we're okay in that regard. She hasn't changed a whole lot since she's been here. Just being facetious. At any rate,
we can get started immediately to try to get a quorum together and notice the meeting as quickly as we can.
So Dr. Iser, if we are able to accomplish that, we could establish any date going forward as your starting date?
I would recommend, let's say, September 23rd, if you can get a quorum together early. Whoops. And if not, September 30th.
Okay.
So those meet the subcommittee's approval.
Well, I would next ask if anybody from the committee has any comment, or does that sound agreeable?
Well, yeah, this is Beers. My preferred starting date would be August 23rd.
So agreed. If we can do the special meeting, that could conceivably occur. And then
I apologize. I think I'm looking at the wrong month. Let me look. Except we're already into September.
September 23rd is a Monday.
Sorry, Dr. Iser. That was what passes for city councilman humor.
Well, actually, if I had been monitoring more closely my calendar, I would have laughed out loud, so I appreciate it.
So in front of us is the option, if we can do a special meeting, Dr. Iser, with approval, could start on the 23rd. If we go to a regular board meeting, with approval, Dr. Iser could start on the 30th.
Can I get a motion, please?
Anybody want to move that?
I'll move for that.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None opposed? Then the other piece of that is, when does this first agreement end? Have the agreements in the past been one-year agreements, repeated every year, or have they had any extension to them?
They have been extended.
But one-year extensions has been the norm for us?
Dr. Madaw's, of course, was a year. Dr. Sands.
I thought that was a two or a three.
His was a 3-year, but I know he had his annual review. So if you all want to do a 3-year agreement, that's fine. Since this is a new chief health officer agreement, the term is whatever you're comfortable with. So if you want to start off with a 3-year agreement, that's your call. If you want to do a one-year agreement, and then after the first year, extend it to a three-year agreement, that's your call as well.
And within this agreement, if we make it 2 or 3 years, and there is an interest in changing compensation, increasing compensation at the end of the year, that could be done, or we would just throw out this agreement and create a new agreement?
It could be. Any agreement could be amended with the approval of both parties.
I don't see why we would even want to renegotiate it every year unless, you know, Dr. Eisner wanted to. So there are outs on both sides, for termination without cause, employee and employer, and that's going to be effective whether it's a 1 year or a 3 year or a 5 year. So I think it would make a lot of sense to have a longer term agreement if Dr. Eisner is agreeable to that.
I am agreeable. I believe that you are exactly right, though, is that given proper notice that either party can leave, terminate me, or change the agreement, again, given proper notice. Without pause is what I'm talking about.
This is Beers. I was in support of the agreement at 1 year, would not be in support of it if it were a longer agreement than that.
And that's fine.
With the 1 year agreement as well.
Then let's go with one.
And the effect of that will be to renegotiate this at the end of the year. Is that correct understanding?
Yes.
Are you agreeable with that, Dr. Eisner?
I sure am. I guess I would recommend to you all, depending on when the full board can meet, that you give Annette permission to incorporate either of those two dates up until 364 days later.
Yes, what I would take this from is if we're going the route of a one-year agreement, it could start on the September 23rd of 2013 and end on the 22nd of September in 2014, or the 30th of September 2013 to the 29th of September.
Correct.
2014. So once we establish somebody making a motion that this be a one-year contract, that'll be the language. Unless there's any more discussion, I guess we should take a motion for a one-year contract, if anybody would like to make such a motion.
So moved.
Any more discussion? All in favor of a one-year contract, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? None are opposed. And again, just to reiterate, language will be created to make it 1 year pending the start date.
Correct.
All right.
Would any of the board members be able to give us their availability for a special meeting?
I will find a way to make myself available. I have other stuff on the calendar, but I can make it happen.
We're talking about next week, correct?
Correct.
I'll be out of town, but I could be on the phone.
Okay. Thank you.
And it almost seems like this, as much discussion has occurred, could really be accomplished as a phone meeting for the most part.
I can also be available Thursday or Friday.
Me too.
Was that Bob?
Yeah, I can be available as well.
Thank you.
On Friday, I could be available after 10 a.m. Probably better make that 10:30 a.m. Okay. Thursday's my preferred day.
May I ask a couple of questions?
You may.
The first question is, do you perceive the full board having any further issues with this contract? And then the second question is, do you want me available for that meeting by phone as well?
From my perspective, I think it would be best for you to be available by me to meet by phone as well, if either of those days can work for you.
You know,
if it's possible for us to get the minutes of this meeting done very quickly and distributed to the rest of the board, we might get an opportunity to have an early feel for if there are other issues. I know that I believe Chris Giunchiliani sent an email out with some suggestions when the draft contract was initially sent, I'm thinking. I barely remember that, but I believe that was true. So it might give us an opportunity to determine what kind of reception we're going to get by sending out minutes to this meeting and a copy, another copy, you know, I guess it's a fairly modified contract that we end up with today, and an attempt to determine what that consensus might be, or at least to get complaints registered, and we can start dealing with them.
Had there been any specific comments?
Chris did make a comment in our last full board meeting, I believe, about the base salary. She didn't elaborate, but that could be an issue.
So this is Bob Beers. I guess, Dr. Azar, the answer is we're not sure what the reception of the full board will be. I agree with either Rod or Tim that it would be great if you could be available by phone if needed.
It would be, I'm asking again, it's next Friday at more or less 10:30 local time. If you get the special meeting?
It would be Thursday or Friday. I think the first proposal was a Thursday meeting on the 12th.
Right.
And if that doesn't get rapid agreement, then we would put out there for the 13th.
And I'd also add, you know, given that it's a short notice special meeting, if you can't make it, Dr. Ezra, I don't think it's a travesty.
Okay, I'm looking at my calendar now. I think you all know that I'm on vacation, and I've got a family reunion, a high school reunion. Later this afternoon, I'm gonna see my oldest brother. And so next Thursday, the 12th, and Friday the 13th, I can be available.
And then again, I think our previous motion was to the effect that if we can't get it done on the 12th or the 13th, we're just going to hang on to the regular board meeting of the 26th.
That's my understanding.
Okay. Any other comments or questions from committee members? And then we'll come back to Dr. Iser for any last comments or discussion. So hearing no further comments from the committee, this would then move on to the proposed special meeting on the 12th or the 13th. And then just to follow up, any other comments from you, Dr. Iser?
No, my final comments basically would be, as I said when I was there, I really appreciate the opportunity first to have come down and interviewed and now to be in the position. I feel honored and appreciative. And I look forward to working with all of you on a long-term basis. I did listen to some of the discussion, so I understand that there are some commissioners who, when I was the candidate now being discussed as going forward with, who voted against me. And so I would appreciate your help and staff's help in trying to discuss with those commissioners what the issues were and how to move forward productively.
That's certainly...
Having been one of the ringleaders of that group, I'll be happy to elaborate, Dr. Ezra.
a very badly written state law in 2007 essentially was custom crafted to limit the board's choice for who could be the next CMO in the case of a vacancy to a current employee of the health district. I happen to have been in that legislative session at the legislature and observed the process. A particular senator who had a big stick in the health arena had a particular relationship with the number two guy at the health district and custom wrote that law to make sure that that was the only guy that could be picked. That law specifically stated that the chief medical officer was required to be a currently licensed MD or DO in Nevada. The 2013 legislature, after our headhunter reported back that their exhaustive nationwide search had essentially turned up two candidates, really only one, and that it was a current employee of the organization, the 2013 legislature modified that law so that the CMO had to be licensable within a year. Had we had that law when we did the job search, we would have had a candidate pool of dozens instead of a candidate pool of one. So I think, for my part at least, my vote wasn't a vote against you. It was a vote for taking advantage of the relief the legislature had provided us and doing the whole process over.
And may I chime in as well? This is Commissioner Scow, and I had similar reasons, and I think I expressed in the meeting too that when I was on the school board and we were choosing a superintendent, we ended up with one candidate, and that kind of hamstrung that official during his tenure because people say, well, he was the only one left. And I, for much of the same rationale and adding that to it, as Councilman Beers, that was my main reasoning for my no vote.
Well, I appreciate your candor. It does make me feel much more positive about going forward to hear your views. If I may add to that, that the process has to be done in open session, and I honestly don't know of any other state that requires that. And indeed, I almost didn't apply and almost withdrew my application because of that. I believe that were it not in open session, you would have gotten people experienced as health officers in other states, including California, perhaps Utah, other surrounding states, if that hadn't been a requirement. I understand that it is. But that's one of the things that also limits the availability for both Washoe County and for you.
Dr. Ezra, Bob Beers, I think most of us, at least the ones who are elected and have integrity, recognize that Nevada's open meeting law has done more to drive the business of government out of sight from the public than anything imaginable. You've just described the tip of the iceberg. Most of us, late at night when we wake up, think about how we gut this thing if we could, or at least turn it into an effective vehicle for better government rather than an effective vehicle for less better government, which it is today.
Councilman Beers, you expressed that very well. My sentiments exactly.
I'm glad you guys are losing sleep for the rest of us.
And I would just follow up with one comment for myself, and I certainly recognize what Mary Beth and Bob have brought forward, but I think in this particular selection process, I have full confidence that Dr. Iser is going to be the right person for this community, and that we've selected a candidate who's going to be good success for all of us. Even if we had further opened, I don't know that there would have been other candidates that would have been as competitive. So I have no feeling that this is a less than stellar selection on our part. So I welcome you, Dr. Iser, and look forward to a successful career for you here.
Thank you. I appreciate that vote of confidence. That certainly bolsters my confidence of being successful there.
All right. Any other comments with regard to the contract? So I think that takes care of B and C.
Well, we didn't get a motion to approve the recommendation for the full board. So I'd like to get a motion for that. To bring this in front of us by either the special meeting or the full board.
Okay.
Move to take it to the full board.
Well, if we have the opportunity to have the special meeting, I'd like for the motion to say that if we have the opportunity to have a special meeting, the recommendation would be to take the employment agreement as amended today, either in front of the special meeting, if it can be arranged, or the full board.
Mary Beth is...
Have it reflect that, yes.
Anybody to second that?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And so we have accomplished that. Last item on the agenda is another open session for any public comment. Anybody from the public wishing to comment? And seeing none, we will move for adjournment.
So moved.
Anita, are you still there?
Yes.
Are you going to be there? Are you going to be available for the special meeting? Or will...
You're talking about next Thursday, right?
Right.
I am out of town. Depending on what time you do it, I can be available by phone.
Okay.
Are you going to the League of Cities, Anita?
Yes.
Me too, so I'll be available by phone.
But I know you were talking about doing it around 10 o'clock, and I know I'm moderating from...
Okay. I know there was going to be a switch. You were going to stop coming to the meetings after September, I thought, and I wanted to make sure that we didn't lose you.
But I believe Anita is with us through this whole contract process.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Thank you.
So we have a motion in front of us for adjournment, and anybody to second that at this point?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 And we are adjourned.